So, as I was sitting and figuring, okay, I know we got to fill the void. I know I got to get up there and bring a lesson and encourage the church. Decided to take a look at what might be a good inspiration for us. And one of the things that came to mind is my daughter. She has a elementary school project here. You might be able to see that there in the photo. That is a butterfly. She was asked by her class to create that. And what I thought about and got to thinking is about the butterfly effect. Now, I know that was a movie. There also is a definition behind that. And so I'd like to talk about how that the butterfly effect for us is inspired by my daughter's elementary school project. However, how does that attribute to world events? How can we look at some biblical examples? And what about Christ's encouragements? And then we want to look at your exhortation or your edification. So, what is the butterfly effect? Folks might be thinking, what is this? Well, the definition of the butterfly effect, it came in 1963 by Edward Lorenz. He made a presentation to the New York Academy of Sciences, and he was literally laughed out the room. His theory, called the butterfly effect, stated that the butterfly could flap its wings and set an air molecule in motion that in turn would move another air molecule, which would then move additional. And so as you see this ripple effect, eventually becoming able to influence weather patterns on the other side of the planet. It's pretty interesting. But what is that meaning? What is that meaning, the spirit of this? What is the meaning of the butterfly effect? Every single thing you do matters. I would encourage us to take a look at the quote by Andrews. He quantified this way. You have been created as one of a kind. You have been created in order to make a difference. You have within you the power to change the world. And we're going to take a look at that and see what that means. Let's start by considering. Now, you know the truth is, and as we are in this nation, we're trying to figure out what the truth is. You are in a war. There is a battle going on every day for your soul. As it states here in Hebrews chapter 9 and 27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And we see this. Probably by the time that you got here from your homes to church, you might have passed a few grave plots. You might have passed a few cemeteries. It is indeed appointed unto man once to die. There's no getting out of that war. But after this is the judgment. And that's what we need to be mindful of. Also in Matthew 16:26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16 and 26. One of the things that is peculiar here from this verse is that there is something precious that you walk around with every single day, and that is your soul. It is precious unto the Lord, so precious that he sent his only begotten son so that you might have your soul not be lost at the day of the judgment. We see here in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I know we have our schedules. We wake up on a Monday or a Tuesday and we go get our coffees, we get our lattes, we do what we have to do throughout the day. We get busy. But all the while, we're not thinking about we're in a war, but we really are. Because our decisions and our actions and everything that we do comes into play. Also, did you know, the truth is, as it states in Romans 5 and 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, for all have sinned. We know that from Romans 5 and 12. And we also see the effect. If we say that we have no sin when we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8. So that means that as we talk about we're in a war and there's a battle going on, that whether we like it or not, or whether we know it or not, that's our state. That's where we're at. We see in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It was made mention here on the panel this morning that sin lies at the door. And we know that we can make that choice quickly. But through Christ, we have an escape. We have a way to defeat it. It is a gift of God. And with Christ, free means free. Anybody say free? Is it really free? Free means free with Christ. But there was a cost, right? And the cost, Christ Jesus, he paid. We see in Romans 5:18, therefore, as one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, that act of the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life. As it states in John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And we talk about freedom, but freedom from what? Freedom from the idea that your soul will be lost because of sin. The fact is, there is a judgment coming. So have you heard of fake news? What is this notion of fake news? What is the truth? Can you handle it? Right? So Apostle Paul, he inspired by the Holy Spirit, he writes there in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. I know they talk about today you want to stand up and vote and make your vote count, and you see things that are happening around us, but we really need to understand at the end of the day, whatever we do, God will bring it in to judgment. And so we do have an ability to affect other people around us. We need to understand what is truth. And from that bearing, we can operate. And so we see here in John 18:38, back then they didn't get it either. Because we had Pilate, when he was questioning Jesus, he said to him, what is truth? And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and he said to them, now unbeknownst to Pilate, he stated the truth is, I find no fault in him at all. And that's the key. There was no fault in Christ Jesus. He overcame. And we need to see that we can overcome as well. So as I contemplated on the previous, I wanted to consider these world events. We live in a new globally connected era, referred to as the digital age. Also, the age of information. It's defined as the same period, the starting period in the 1970s, with the introduction of the personal computer. Subsequently, technology introduced and provided a way to ability to transfer information freely and quickly. So we see that today. You know, back in 2000 BC, it started out with smoke signals, right? Does anybody still know how to make one? Carrier pigeons, right? 12th century. I don't know if we even have carrier pigeons. I know there's a lot of pigeons on the street sometimes. 1876, there was landlines. And some of the youngers are going, this is kind of glossing over. What is a landline? 1994 is kind of rolling out of the World Wide Web, and now they're talking about how do we secure it, and how do we, and the kids know, they're going through all these different things through school. And now what you have in probably everybody's pocket is this smartphone. They call it smartphone, right? That doesn't release you from being smart with it. However, what I'd like for us to see is that everything is so quick now. Information is free now. And the world's trying to grasp and tackle this problem. So, when we look at world events, is free really free? So, I can get something very fast sent to my phone. I can check out the latest news. I could pull up CNN. I mean, I could pull up Fox. I could pull up, and I'm listing names. But the idea is you can go where you want to go to get the information you want to get. So let's take a look here at this article that came from the Smithsonian. I wanted to pull it apart and take a look at some of these items. It's called Smart News. And it's keeping you current. So when I read this, I feel like I'm staying up to date. However, what does it say? It says the new study shows that fake news spreads faster and deeper than verified stories on this platform, Twitter. Looking at 126,000 stories they sent out by over 3 million people, researchers found that humans, and they say not bots, for those that understand, it's not machines, were primarily responsible for the spread of disinformation or untruths. What's interesting about that is false things travel fast. But majority of the people, do they really buy into it? Are they believing it? Are these their reality? Is this their facts? So what is really the cost of free? We must always be on guard with what we listen to, with what we read, and what we see. Because we have to understand we are in a war for our souls. Who is really behind this free information? We know that the adversary is walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We must have a compass, especially today when things are at your fingertips. And we talk about the cost of freedom. So Thomas Jefferson is among many others who have stated this, but the cost of freedom is eternal vigilance. So what does it mean that I get this information? I have to know that I have to guard myself from the information that I receive and what is truth and what is not. Jesus says in John chapter 17:17, sanctify them, which sanctify means to set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. The Lord said every single word that he speaks will not come back to him void. We are living proof. He spoke us into existence. So the fact of the matter is we have to take that into account when we talk about the effect of one little thing that can spread. So, as we look at world events, even the smallest idea, whether good or bad, can take root. It can affect each of us, and it can spread. And we must be careful to guard our hearts and our mind to know what is truth, to affect the world with good and truth. Christians are to be salt and light. It's a high bar, because how many folks have ever eaten something and you didn't realize you were eating because it was that dull? You took a bite and it's just, okay, I'm getting through it because I'm hungry. But Christ is trying to make that clear here in Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Are you going to season salt with salt? It is good then for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So as Christians, we need to have that compass in us to know what is truth. Christ provides that bar, and we need to also make sure that we are careful, because as it shows here in Galatians 5:9, just a little leaven can leaven the whole lump. And we talk about the butterfly effect. One little thing can affect many. Can folks claim that these shootings at the school, one kid came in thinking, I'm just going to shoot. It's not going to affect anybody, right? But look how that affected so many people. And then you had people who were copying after that, and it affected more folks. So we do have the ability to affect the world around us, and everything we do matters. So let's look at our faith. Biblical examples we see here in Matthew 17, starting at verse 14. I know I have it on the board. We're going through the New King James Version. If you have it with you, please read along. And it says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water.'" Verse 16, "So I brought him into your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And that child was cured from that very hour." Continue on to verse 19. "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately, and they said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to him, 'Because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you.'" And so we see here that the smallest change that we can make by just strengthening our faith, putting forth the action behind our belief in Jesus, we can move mountains. We may perceive it as a small contribution, but we can affect the world around us for good. I depicted here, everybody knows what the penny looks like, right? So you can see that. Right beside it is a mustard seed. Very small. But we see here, right underneath it, is the tree. And this tree, you see a group of folks standing underneath it. Jesus invites us to examine the size of our faith. And I would also encourage you to think about not just the height of that tree, but the roots. That mustard seed produced strengthening, strong roots in the earth, but also a huge size. And that is what Christ wants us to see about our faith. Because let's consider what the Lord has done for us, his faith in us, if you will. "For God's love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5 and 8. How can one man affect the entire world for good? Look at what Christ has done. What brings you here now? God's angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner who repents. Do you think your contribution doesn't matter? And I know the children that go to school, and my about 2 years ago, my daughter and my oldest daughter, Charlize, and my son, Alistair, they had a friend that they used to go to school with. Now, this is elementary school or middle school. And it seemed like a great guy. But they found out the next year that he had passed away. He took his life. And the reason why he took his life was because he was being bullied on the internet. The information that he received, he bought into. Now, I know we can't take a life, even our own. And so it put this young man in a situation where he was confused because he didn't think that he can overcome it. Jesus also describes the size of the kingdom of heaven as the same. And we see here that he said in Mark chapter 4, verse 30 and 32, "Then he said, 'To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it?'" Christ is trying to get us to see what the kingdom of God would look like. "It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is grown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." We have that as Christians that we belong to. As Christians, you are part of the kingdom of God. You are considered a child of His. Like we mentioned this morning, one sinner who repented, the angels rejoiced. That baptism makes a world of difference because we pull one more soul from the flames. So, your exhortation. What's your butterfly effect? Every single thing you do matters. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We see that in 2 Peter 3 and 9. We hear folks say, and I've heard it before, well, if the Lord's coming, where is He? He's not here. Some may count that as slackness. But we do know that the Lord is long-suffering. And He's given us a chance. And while we still have breath, we still have hope. We see in Genesis 1 and 26 and 28, then God said, let us make man in our image. And in our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over everything that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. You know, years ago, it might have been thought, I'm going to get into this metal tube with wings and I'm going to fly from Pennsylvania to California. You might have laughed. But those Wright brothers, they started out the process. And now you can go to orbits and you can book a flight and go here to there. You can go to Costa Rica. You can go anywhere on a plane. And it started with that idea. Why? Because we are built in God's image. God created this earth and He created you uniquely, and He created you to make a difference. We talked about that this morning in class with Esther. We know Mordecai, he had a job he could do, but he could not do Esther's job. And Esther had a job she had to do, or somebody else would have moved into her place. And because of her, the continuity of the Jews, they fought forward when they had opposition against them. Continuing on here, we see, in the image of God, He created him, both male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea. Does anybody see fish putting us in cages? Over the birds of the air. What about birds? And over every living thing that moves on the earth. And I highlighted here land, water, and earth. We have dominion over all these things, and that was God has given us to tend to. So, you're created as one of a kind. With God, all things are possible. We see that in Matthew 19 and 26. All things are possible to him who believes, Mark 9 and 23. So let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter as we see in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, verse 13 through 14, it says, let us hear a conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. As it states in Matthew 5 and 43 through 48, let's look at our conduct. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That feels difficult. But that is what Jesus is encouraging us to do. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for as He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if we love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what do you do more than others? That you is, as they call, the royal you, or the royal we. It's us. Do not even the tax collectors do so. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So, as it says in Mark chapter 16 and 15, as we wrap up, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, which is the good news. We turn around and we look at a lot of news, but the gospel is the good news to every creature. We see that God has promised by his son, Jesus, you a free gift of the Holy Spirit and eternal life. We see that in Acts chapter 38. You must hear the word, which you're doing now, hopefully. You believe in the truth that Jesus died for your sins. You repent of your sins. You confess that Jesus is Lord and Christ. You be baptized for the remission of your sins, for the salvation of your soul. You live faithful unto death, as we see also in Revelations towards the latter end of Revelations chapter 2 and 10, that you will receive the crown of life. You receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised you and for those that love him. We see that in James chapter 1 and 12. There is only one way out of darkness, folks, and that's through Christ. So this is your invitation. And I would invite us to think about that God is calling you. Some people might be ducking, but God is really calling each of us because he loves us. And that we have to see that we are in a war. And so why not make that small step, that small ripple in your life today for salvation? Because tomorrow may be too late. I know we sing a song, but that is the truth. As we see in Acts chapter 8 and 12, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Christ, both men and women were baptized. Preaching of God and the kingdom, in order to get in, we must be baptized. And we see here in Acts 8 and 36, before that, there was a command given out. Philip, go meet the eunuch. Go teach him. And the eunuch, when he encountered Philip, he didn't stop the chariot. The chariot was plowing forward. But Philip did his job and ran up beside that chariot and said, do you understand what you were reading? How could I unless somebody helps me? Somebody had to help the eunuch get past that understanding of thought of what he was looking at when he was reading the scriptures. Your efforts can be that same person. Everything that you do matters. And so Philip did his job and preached Jesus. I love that verse where it says he preached Jesus, because right after that, we see here that in Acts 8 and 36, now they came down to a road and they came to the water. And it wasn't Philip that asked this, but the eunuch. And he said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And I would ask you the same. And so with that, I know we had a song selected. I'd like to ask that we all stand and sing the song that has been selected.